This Bible, in one sense, is the most contradictory book in the world. And yet there is no contradictions in it. Christ never said anything that made any sense, and he never did anything that made any sense. Said the way up is down. The way to live is to die. The way to be rich is to give away what you've got. And the way to be wise is to be a fool. Everything he taught turned the people upside down in his day. And we're told in the book of Acts that the disciples went everywhere preaching, and they turned the world upside down. So tonight, I'm coming to bring a message on man's total inability. We're going a little deeper into the message that we had last Thursday night. My text is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath God quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In that verse, you have total inability. At the same time, you have total responsibility. And you hath God quickened, who were dead. Dead in two ways. He's dead legally, and he's dead spiritually. Man here in the court has been tried for murder in the first degree. Found him guilty, and the judge sentenced him. Put him in the jail waiting execution. That man is dead legally, and he'll be dead experimentally when they put him in the electric chair. So God's sentence upon the human race is that man is dead. I mean, he's plumb dead. He's totally dead. And I've been preaching for 50 years along this line, trying to get somebody to tell me what a dead man can do. I haven't been able to find anybody that can tell me what a dead man can do. Yet at the same time, they tell him what to do. So I want to point out tonight that the Bible gives you five things about man. First, man does not have a free will. Man does not have a free will. He's a free moral agent, but he does not have a free will. Somebody the other day asked me, Mr. Caldwell, which comes first, repentance or faith? I said, neither one of them. God quickens you, and then both of them come. Man does not have a free will. Then if man does not have a free will, then salvation cannot be whosoever will, never in all of the world. That sinner's will is in bondage to what he is. Water is perfectly free to flow downhill, but it cannot flow uphill without a force to force it to do so. A dead man is free to stink, but that is all. Not only that, but man is enslaved to sin and Satan. He's in bondage to sin. He's in bondage to Satan, and that does away with free will. Has a free will to sin, has a free will to do what the devil tells him to do, but he does not have a free will in the realms of the Spirit. Not only that, but man is an alien dead sinner. He's dead. And the most pitiful thing in the world is to look into the face of a dead man. Almost 50 years, I have been preaching funerals. I don't like funerals. Christ didn't like him. He broke up every one he come in contact with. When he met a dead man, he said, get up out of that coffin, go back home. I don't like funerals, but I have to preach them. And the most horrible thing in the world is to look into the face of a dead man or look into the face of a man that's dying. I don't like death. Man is an alien dead sinner. Not only that, but man has total inability. What can a dead man do? Nothing but sleep. At the same time, man has total responsibility. When God quickens that alien, that sinner, he gives him ability to equal his responsibility. And so we shut up tonight. Will God quicken all men? Or will he quicken some? Or will he quicken some? You and I shut up in the matter of salvation to this point. That God will save all, he'll save none, or he'll save some. So, if God saves all, you have universalism. If God saves none, you have fatalism. But if God saves some, that's correct. Then I'd like to know tonight, or this place, myself, how are we going to find out how God saves the ones that he saved. We're going to look at that tonight. So in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. After God quickens that man, then what does God do? Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he hath showed thee all manner. You know you're trans your dead man, anything with it? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So tonight, we're looking at man's total inability. I have been preaching and I've been telling you that the only hope of any sinner is that God will shut him out. And the only hope of this nation, of this generation, only hope of our churches is that they can be shut up, absolutely shut up, to where there's no hope except that which is above. So we're going to ask several questions tonight. Question number one, what is man's total inability? Do you believe that? Is man totally depraved? The Bible says that he is. Let's look at it a little deeper tonight. What is man's total inability? First, he is totally dead. He is totally dead. He's not a half dead. He is from death. Second, man is totally blind. He cannot see spiritual truth. He can see with the physical eye. He's not dead physically. He can move and do things in the realms of the moral, but he is dead spiritually. And he's blind spiritually. He cannot see the glory of God, because he is blind. Not only that, but man is totally deaf. He cannot hear the voice of God. If God spoke to him, he never would hear. Until God quickens that alien, dead sinner, he will never hear the voice of God in this world. You could go out up here to one of the mortuaries. Say, you got any dead men in here? Yes, I got three. They got killed in an automobile wreck yesterday, and we've got them all fixed up to bury him. Would you let me talk to him? That undertaker man would look at you with a strange look. You'd step in the room. You'd start talking to him, trying to show him something. There would be no response, because that man is dead physically, which is a picture of sinners being dead spiritually. Not only that, but he is totally lost, absolutely lost. Now, when is a man lost? When he cannot find his way home, he's lost. I mean he's plumb lost. Cannot find his way home. Well, if a man could find his way home, he is not lost. But this Bible teaches that man is lost. Not only that, but man is totally in the kingdom of Satan. Every child that's born into this world is born into a human family, born in sin, born totally depraved, and born in the kingdom of Satan. And the only hope he's got is that God will quicken him and lead him out and translate him out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Absolutely, there is no hope apart from that. Not only that, but man is totally outside of the kingdom of God. Absolutely born an alien, dead sinner, outside of the kingdom of God. Not only that, but man is totally unable to do anything truly good. Then if a man cannot do anything truly good, pray tell me, how can that man be saved by anything he does or he doesn't do? Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin, or a leper his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. God said there is nothing good that you can do. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. What then? Are we better than they? That is, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not in the Jew, nor the Gentile. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Reckon that so? Why doesn't he? He's dead. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Reckon that so? Then if that's so, we have total inability. Come to question number two. Why has God shut man up to total inability and a total responsibility? Why has God done that? God knew exactly what he was going to do when he made Adam and Eve. If that isn't so, then God is not omniscient. And if that isn't so, then God will have to change his program, his plan, and his purposes. And that can never be. Almighty God, when he started out in the beginning, knew exactly where he's going, knew exactly what he's doing. So he shut man up. Now, why has God done that? Well, I want to give you several reasons why that God has shut man up. First, that salvation be of the Lord. If you can have one thing to do with your salvation, you go to hell, sir. Are you listening to me tonight? This Bible teaches that if you have one thing to do with your salvation, you'll go to hell, sir. God must save you in such a way that it gets all of the glory and you get all of the grace. What can a dead man do? Nothing but stink. In the second reason why that God has shut man up is that salvation may be sure to all of the seed. If you say by what you do and don't do, when would you know when you got enough done? And suppose you're not able to do any works, then be some of God's family that would die and go to hell. But God has fixed it so, shuts man up, and God alone must intervene and interpose, and he does. And so that salvation may be sure to all of the sea. Almighty God started out in the beginning to have a family, and is going to have them. This Bible teaches that God's people are all named and numbered. And you cannot increase God's family, neither can you diminish them. Their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Oh, children, listen tonight. Hear me. As the old man of God screams to you, salvation by grace and by grace alone. God shut man up so that his salvation depends upon God quickening him. If God never quickens you, you will sleep the eternal sleep of death. John chapter 5, verse 21, it said, the Son quickeneth whom he will. He looks at that alien dead sinner when he gets ready, he speaks, and that man is made alive. And when God makes him alive, his ability equals his responsibility. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the sea. Aren't you glad of that? Almighty God started out to save all of his children and is going to save it. Talking to a dear brother the other day, and he said, you know, our election is, I said, no, do you? He said, yeah. I said, I wish you'd tell me. Election means God takes some and leaves some. I said, no, that's not election. Election means that God takes all of his and leaves all of the devil's gang. Oh, is that it? I said, that's right. Amen. I said, here is 10 people. God takes 4 and leaves 6. Would you mind telling me why he took the 4 and left the 6? Well, just because it pleased him to do so. I said, no. Brother, names of God's people are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, and God fixed it this way, so be sure to all of the sea. You like that? There's another reason why that God has shut man up, that God may get all of the glory. What could an old alien dead sinner do? Not a thing in this world. There it is, that legally already been tried and sentenced to hell, and the only thing that's waiting is execution. He is dead legally. Bible said the wages of sin is death, has already been tried, and therefore he's dead legally. And he's dead spiritually, therefore he has total inability, absolutely total inability. So God does it that way, that he may get all of the glory. There's another reason why that God has shut man up to total inability, and that is that man has nothing to boast of but the Lord in that one. When you get to heaven, you can't say, well, you know, God, I was a good little boy, I was a good little girl, I attended Sunday school, and I had my name in the Kiwanis Club, I joined the lodges, and as a good little boy, attended Sunday school. But ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? When you get to heaven, you'll have nothing to boast of but the Lord and the Lord alone. Amen. Romans chapter 3, God deals with the matter of justification by faith. And God said, I justify you by faith and give you the faith to believe to start with. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing any sinner can do is to exercise faith in the finished work of Christ, and he can't do that till God quickens him and creates faith in his heart. So when you get to heaven, you'll have nothing to boast of and to brag about but the Lord. Amen. There's another reason why that God shuts man up to total inability, and that he may glory only in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All listen, that would do away with all of this boasted, bloated, so winning program, big Sunday school and a big church. That would do away with all of it. You and I have nothing to glory in but the Lord. But there is another reason why, that God shuts man up to total inability. That is that God may get all of the glory in the age to come. You're going to have all the glory in your salvation to send you to hell. That's all. Not only that, in the ages to come, God must have all of the glory, and he will. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 to 10, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That is the grace and the faith. God freely gives both of them to you, and he quickens you to start with, then gives you grace and faith, grants you repentance, gives you the spirit of repentance, and gives you ability to equal your responsibility. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created. Creation belongs to the Creator. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Coming to question number 3. How has God shut man up? How has God shut man up? Not only shut you up to total inability, and shut you up to total responsibility, but God goes a little deeper than that. Man is completely shut up. Oh, that we could have some preachers today that could come on the scene and preach and shut every church member up, shut every preacher up, shut all of the sheriffs up, all of the policemen, all of the Congress and Senate, and the president to boot, shut everybody up, shut all the sinners up to nothing but God's mercy and God's grace. Ladies and gentlemen, if that should take place, you talk about a revival. Oh my, what a revival would break out. And I have a feeling in my soul that God's soon going to start moving with the great Calvinistic truths of the Bible. And they're going to shut this thing up. Absolutely shut them up to where they must look up to God and to God alone. Amen. You take Noah in the ark. He had a window in that ark, but it was not on the side. Window was right in the top of that ark. And it's strange, when it rained, it did come in that hole. Isn't that strange? Had a window in the top. God said, Noah, I want you to see that all light comes from above. You can't get any light except that which comes from above. And God shut Noah up. And you and I got to be shut up. Absolutely. If God don't save your children, and if he doesn't save my children, go to hell certain. I need to tell him that, and you need to tell yours that. I remember one time when I was a pastor at the Laurel Creek Baptist Church, Lewis and Carol's out playing. I said, come in, boys, to my study. Daddy, we're busy. I said, I am too, but I want to see you fellas. Well, we haven't done anything. I said, well, we'll see about that. Come in. Well, we're busy. I said, come in. Sat down. I said, look me in the face. They did. I said, boys, I want you to understand, because your daddy is a preacher, won't keep you out of hell. And because your daddy, especially this church, won't keep you out of hell. The only thing that'll keep you boys out of hell is nothing but the mercy and grace of God. And that and God alone. God is no more obligated to save you in his heart and thought in Africa. And they said, is that all? I said, I think that's enough. Run along. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. until we come back to preaching absolutely the condition of the sinner and the character of God and the terrors of a holy law and the awfulness of a hell and the longness of eternity and the terrible terrors of the judgment of God and shut men up. I have no hope of this situation. We boasted of our big fine churches. We boasted of our educated ministry. We boasted of all of that thing. And ladies and gentlemen, we have boasted all the lights are out. We have put them out with what we are doing. All right, now how has God shut man up? Here it comes. Are you ready to fight? First, the new birth comes from above. The new birth comes from above. A man could a bit more give birth to himself spiritually than he could physically. My mother had to give me a physical birth. And I had no part in that birth. I was there. I was not active. I was being acted on. My dear mammy gave me a physical birth, put me in a physical world, put me in sin from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. She didn't give birth to a little angel, she gave birth to a little devil, so to speak. And we found it out, and I began a little age on me. She began to see that thing coming out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the new birth comes from above. I can't give birth to nobody. No priest, no preacher, no prophet, no priest, no prelate, no cardinal, not even the Pope in Rome can create and give a birth to not one soul. The new birth doesn't come by anything you do or don't do. It simply comes down from above. Not only that, but faith comes from above. If you ever get any faith in this world, it's got to come from above. And the only way you can get faith is for God to speak to you. And if he never speaks to you, you'll never have any faith. If you never have any faith, you can never be saved. And if you never be saved, you'll die in your sins and plunge into hell forever. Not only that, but repentance comes from above. Are you listening? You couldn't repent in a million years. Or you could be sorry that you stole a man's cow. You could be sorry that you robbed a bank, got caught in jailhouse, but that is not repentance. Repentance is a godly sorrow for sin. And you never will have that till God quickens you. Are you listening? Repentance is the death agony of the soul, oh my God. When God quickens you and leaves you in your sins. You talk about a mess, you had it. Leaves you in your sins and gives you a divine nature and a holy heart, and yet leaves you in sin. And that very pressure drives you to Christ. All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. Not only that, but conviction of sin comes from above. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never have a Holy Ghost conviction of sin, never in this world, unless it comes down from above. Not only that, but light comes from above. There's no light in this earth, and there's none in hell, for that's a place of darkness. Light comes from above. Not only that, but the Holy Ghost comes from above. And unless you receive God's Spirit, you will die in your sins and plunge into hell. 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, "We preach you the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Are you listening? God's Son came down from heaven. God the Holy Ghost is sent down from heaven. Not only that, but the kingdom of God comes from above. There is no kingdom in this world except the kingdom of Satan. And we hope to bring you a message on the kingdom of Satan one of these days. It scares all to death. This whole earth planet is the kingdom of Satan. But God has a kingdom in this thing. But the kingdom of God is hidden in the hearts of men. Oh, listen to me tonight. The kingdom of God comes down from above. Not only that, but truth comes from above. If you ever get a speck of truth in this world, you've got to get it from above. The devil doesn't have a speck of grace. And the devil doesn't have a speck of truth. All the truth he has is a man-made truth. You and I have truth because it comes from God. And God is the author of truth. And our Father has truth, and we as his children, we have a right to all the truth that we can get, and truth is God's property. Not only that, but liberty comes from above. If I'm ever set free from sin and death and Satan, I must be set free by the great liberator, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God quickens that sinner, he's in bondage to sin and death. When God quickens him and makes him alive, then he's set free from the law of sin and death. And then he spends the rest of his life being set free from this idol, free from this idol, free from this lust, free from that. Continue as long as you live, you continue being set free from some phase of the self-life. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 to 4. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free. Then man is not free to live. Talk about having a free will. Oh, wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, listen. He's not free to live. Set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it could never set me free. In that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come to question number 4. Ought to give us a little breathing spell. You've been shut up. Wouldn't you like to be turned out? Yes, I would. Total inability and total responsibility. Ever see a man that's tried and found guilty? They put him in jail. He's dead legally. He'll be dead experimentally when they put him in the electric chair. That man is in the jailhouse. Did you know he's free? Free for what? He's free within that cage, and that's all. He never can get out of that cage. And man has freedom within his own nature, and that's all. Question number 4, what is man's responsibility? Is man responsible? Yes. I give you his responsibility tonight. We showed you in the beginning of total inability, at the same time total responsibility. But man has no responsibility that'll equal his, no ability that'll equal his responsibility until God moves. When God quickens that man and makes him alive, now he has a responsibility that'll shake the jaw teeth out of your head. First, he's responsible to hear the voice of God. You shut up to hear the voice of God. And you're responsible to hear the voice of God. But you can't hear God's voice till he speaks. And he doesn't have to speak. He doesn't have to quicken you. He just leave you dead. He doesn't have to grant you repentance. But if he does and quickens you, then you have a responsibility to hear the voice of God. In the second place, man has a responsibility to obey the voice of God. You are to obey that voice. When God speaks, we are to obey. Not only that, but man is responsible to walk in God-given light. God is the only one that can give us light, the only one that can give us life, the only one that can give us love and liberty. But when God gives light, man is responsible to walk in that light. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while. Listen. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light. Walk in the light. Believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Now don't try to explain that. Just receive it as information from God. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. When he hid himself, he hid the light, for he is the light of the world. Not only that, but man is responsible to walk in paths of holiness. You won't be saved by walking in paths of holiness. But walking in paths of holiness will be the evidence that God has given you a holy nature. Not only that, but man is responsible to walk in paths of obedience. God showed us what to do, and we are to walk in paths of obedience. Not only that, but man is responsible to repent and to believe the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Not till then. God won't put you in jail first and shut you up in the jail now before he ever comes see you. God has a lot of ways of putting you in jail. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came and he did come forth. Jesus came into Galilee. Word Galilee means circle. He'd come into your little circle. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled. I'm ready to save you now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Did you ever notice the steps in the divine order there? First it said you must be put in prison. God must shut you out. You remember when God put you in jail? Remember when God shut you out? Which I don't know anything about that. You may be still at large. You must be put in prison. Second, Jesus must cross your path. And if not going to cross your path, they put you in jail. Third, you must hear the preaching of the gospel. God will have to give you ears to hear you never will hear. Fourth, you must repent of your sins. Fifth, you must believe the gospel. I'm going to close the message tonight by asking you a question. Art thou a believer or no? I'm doing the best I can. I didn't ask you that question. Art thou a believer or no? Acts 18:27 is said they believe through grace. You're not able to believe no other way. They believe through grace. God gets ready to save a sinner. He quickens that sinner and gives him ability to equal his responsibility. Now will God quicken all, or quicken some, or quicken none? I believe we're shut up that salvation is of the Lord and that God is going to save his people. One of the greatest studies that you've ever made in all of your life is this. Is the sinner dead? Is he dead? Settle that. If the sinner is dead, then he never can be saved. He's quickened. Then God will quicken all men and none or some. You shut up again. I'm bound to believe that God started out to save his children. I believe he's going to save it. He's going to. As God quickened you,